بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه قال: جاءني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعودني من وجع اشتد بي، فقلت: بلغ بي ما ترى، وأنا ذو مال ولا يرثني إلا ابنتي. وذكر الحديث، متفق عليه. الحديث في began the discussion yesterday, just to complete one or two aspects. As I mentioned, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah did not mention the entire hadith. He just mentioned that section which was pertinent to what we are currently discussing. Very interesting question Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala raised with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to what he considered what he was his demise. In this hadith we learn that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aside from addressing the question which he asked, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also inferred to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu that you are going to recover from this particular illness, that your demise will not occur now, it will occur sometime later, because Allah ta'ala is going to take work from you. So this was obviously the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back to the question or dilemma that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala raised, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that there is one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which there is an overriding principle. Whilst you are alive, every one of us, whatever we have at our disposal, our intelligence, our faculties, our what we call jaan and maal, our life and wealth, the most intelligent and astute utilization of this is to use it to prepare for akhirah. In other words, send it ahead. Whatever you have, all your effort day to night, day and night. Unfortunately, many of us, our jaan and maal, we are using it for dunya. We learn from hadith, the intelligent person is the one who is cognizant of his debt and he sends it ahead in akhirah. Going to carry on forever and ever in akhirah. Then there are some types of good deeds that a person in this world passed away, but he still gets the reward for it, even after he passed away. These generally fall into three categories. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءَ. He said, when a person dies, all his avenues to earn amal, akhirat, reward, etc. in qata, come to an end. Why is dead now? But three things in this world, despite the fact that he passed away, he continues earning. Three things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. The first of this, he said, sadaqatin jariyah. What we call sadaqa e jariyah. While you are alive, you gave money in the path of Allah. Masjid, madrasa, well, borehole, spend on some, whatever, different avenues a person, whilst he is alive, he spends. That institution or where you gave the money, the dini benefit is continuing after you passed away. So we learn from the hadith, that reward you will continue getting. The second, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. While you were alive, you taught people. Maybe you taught somebody Surah Fatiha. Maybe somebody was not in Salah. You went in Kash, met that person, got him ready to go in the path of Allah, change his life, etc., etc. So in other words, knowledge of deen that you disseminated, the benefit of which extended beyond your physical life, that reward you will get. The third type, or the third avenue, awladan saliha, pious children which you left behind. You will be in your qabr, as long as the goodness that they are doing permeates, you will get that reward. Pertinent to what Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one avenue what we call sadaqa jariyah. While you are alive, spending your money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it comes to spending your money, one is you can spend it, sadaqa jariyah, in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Or you can spend your money on your own family. We are given this very, very strong exhortation all the time. MashaAllah, you are wealthy, you are earning. Allah Ta'ala give you even more barakah. What you got now, as much as possible, try and spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will become a means of sadaqah ijariyah. Now that requires a very high level of sacrifice. There will always be a temptation. Hoard the wealth, hold on to it. If I give it away, it might get less. I will need it, etc., etc. But now when death is staring you in the face, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was convinced, I'm not going to recover from this illness. Ishtadda bi wajhi. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I am very, very ill. I've got a lot of money. Anadhu malin. So a wealthy person now becomes terminally ill. He's going to pass away. He's very, very sick. Here, technically, for him to give all his wealth away in the path of Allah, build some masjid, madrasa, well, etc., borehole, doesn't require a very high level of qurbani and sacrifice. Because a young man who thinks his whole life is in front of him, for him to spend half his wealth or three quarter his wealth in the path of Allah, requires a very, very high level of iman and taqwa. Because he has to have that tawakkul and trust, then only he will give so much in the way of Allah. Person who's staring death in the face, yes, there is sawab, there is reward, no doubt. But not as high. Why? Because as far as he's concerned, life is over now. Let me give everything away. Let me give everything away. I will continue to get the reward when I'm in the qabr. But if you do this, the question now arises, or the dilemma that faced Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I only have one daughter. Ana dhu malin. I am a very, very wealthy person. How much wealth, he doesn't mention in the hadith. But dhu malin is an expression, means I have a lot of wealth. I have a lot of wealth. I only have one daughter. How much needs can she possibly have? So, sahaba's yaqeen, conviction on akhirat. So obviously, what is the jazba? He asked the question, afa atasaddaq. Ya Rasulullah, shouldn't I just give away all my wealth in the path of Allah? Leave little bit for my daughter. Leave little bit for my daughter and give everything else away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this what Shariat and Deen advocates? When you are alive, when you are young, or when you are not facing a terminal illness, yes, Islam advocates, give as much sadaqah as possible. But understand, like you build a masjid or a madrasa or a well or a borehole or whatever it may be, or you sponsor some student or whatever it may be, like that Allah is also rewarding you for the money that you spend on your family. Whilst you are alive and young and you got your faculties, that is also sadaqah. Not just sadaqah, it is the most superior sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, he said, a man has one dinar, spends it on his needy family. Somebody is poor in his family, somebody is needy. One dinar, he spends it in jihad. One dinar, he spends it on a masjid. One dinar, he spends it, whatever. The Bismillah gives three or four scenarios. Then he said, the greatest reward Allah is going to give him on that dinar which he spent on his family. So the dilemma, or the question that is in front of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, what does the actual question? He puts it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Afa atasaddaqu bi thuluthi mali?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, shouldn't I give 2/3 of my wealth away in charity? I only have one daughter. I want to earn for my akhirat. I don't think I'm going to survive this illness. Dhu malin, I am very, very wealthy. Should I not give away 2/3 of my wealth in the path of Allah? Still the 1/3 that's left behind will be more than enough for my daughter." What is the response Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "La, no. Leave more behind for your daughter." So then he responds and he says, "Anis, okay, Ya Rasulullah, if not 2/3, should I not give away half my wealth in the path of Allah and leave half such a large estate I have, it will be more than enough for my daughter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again says, La, no. So finally, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas says to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, should I give away one third? So in other words, two thirds I'll leave it for behind for my daughter, only one heir, my daughter. Two thirds I'll leave it behind for her, and one third I will give it away in the path of Allah before I pass away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Athuluth, yes, there is permission for you." Listen carefully to the words of the hadith. He said, "Yes, there is permission for you to give away up to one third, but if you ask me my opinion, athuluth kathir. Even one third is too much. So the allowance is up to one third. In other words, you can make wasiyat or bequest up to one third of your wealth. The other two thirds automatically belong to what we call your Quranic heirs when you pass away. So the masala is learned from this hadith and obviously other ahadith. But the advice that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, the actual mansha of Shariat, was even the one third is too much. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the illat, the reason why he is giving this advice to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرُ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَن تَذَرَهُمْ عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. Sa'd, if you leave your heirs, because everybody will understand, besides Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, there are going to be other people that will face the similar situation. At the end of their life, must I give everything away, or what must I do? They not necessarily will only have one daughter. They may have a lot of heirs. They may have a large family. So we learn one important overriding principle in Shariat. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, it is better for you that you leave your heirs well off financially, so that they don't have to extend their hands and beg and ask from anyone. They are financially independent. Islam advocates this. It is better that you leave them in that position than leaving them destitute. You leave them destitute and then they are going to stretch their hands out to others. In other words, on this also Allah Ta'ala will reward you. So whilst you are alive, hypothetically, you got your whole life in front of you, there give as much sadaqah as you can. But this jazba and zeal, my life has come to an end, let me give everything away now before I die, I'll get reward inshallah. That Sharia doesn't advocate. What does Sharia advocate? Their Sharia advocates, it's better you leave your family financially independent, where they don't have the need to stretch their hands out to anyone, rather than giving into this urge at the end of your life, let me give everything away, earn my akhirat, my family can carry on earning, or whatever it is. From this we learn that principle, coming back to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, as we mentioned, spending on your family is also sadaqah. It's also charity. It's also reward. By spending on your family, we don't mean israf and lavish weddings and unnecessary spending. We're talking about spending of necessity or keeping them comfortable. This is also part of Shariat and Deen. Whilst you are young, you've got the ability, then earn for akhirat as much as you can. And sadaqah is a very powerful means of earning. Even after you passed away, you will get the reward. But don't give in to this temptation, that at the end of my life is over now, I'm dying, let me give everything away. Here, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught that leave your family in such a condition that they don't have to stretch their hands out to anyone. Like your stofiq, subhanAllah.